Live 365.
Online to continue to keep you updated. Dial your number for night vision and closes, please.
It is 231-796-8458. 231-796-8458. Thank you, Mark. God bless you. God bless you, America.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Bringing you the sound of the revolution. Thank you for listening to LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke, too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Ready, it's coming. This broadcast is brought to you by LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com, PBN.4mg.com, Live365.com. When you get to their page, type Liberty Tree Radio into their search bar. A listener button will appear. Push it, and you're here. We are also heard on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Hallmark Network, and various AM and FM micro-broadcasts and CB stations across this republic.
A good evening to those listening on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 micro-FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. A special salute to our brothers and sisters on From the Trenches, worldreport.com, and a one-finger salute to the NSA folks that are listening. We open this broadcast with Country Boy Can Survive by Hank Williams, Jr. It is the 10th day of April in the year of our Lord, 2014, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 6 p.m. Pacific. We are your hosts, Steve and Missy, coming to you from Deep South, Louisiana. This is a live call-in program. The topic tonight for the first half of the show is home defense. The second half of the show will be about toxins in your home. The number to call is 712-432-0900. That is 712-432-0900. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room that you want. That would be 957-464 and hit the pound sign. That room number is 957-464 and hit the pound sign. Don't forget to hit star 6 to go live and talk to us, and star 6 to mute yourself again. If you would like to contact us with a question, show idea, or anything else, email us at bulldog22tc@yahoo.ca. That's bulldog22tc@yahoo.ca. Understand something. You are an American. You are left with no other choice. You are either a prisoner of war or you are a resistance fighter. Choose wisely. Your very soul depends on it. There is no longer any middle ground. Steve, your turn.
All right, y'all. Before we get into the discussion this week, I want to send out a call to action. Our brother-in-arms Spike Timmons at IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com needs a new monitor for the system that he runs. He has a daily broadcast called Hammering the New World Order at 1 p.m. Central every day right here. He's also the main archiver for all the broadcasts that you hear on Liberty Tree. We cannot access the archives without him, and we get them for free because of Spike. He needs our help. Y'all run over to IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com and hit his donate button. Thank y'all very much. All right, tonight I want to go over home defense. This could be called last stand or defensive position. Now, this can be a very tough task to accomplish, but you can make it interesting by thinking through every possibility. You're going to sleep a lot better at night knowing that you have thought of most of the possibilities and can defend your home. I hate to say it, but with the country and the state that it's in, the days of loading up your shotgun and chasing off an intruder are over. Things are way different. You need to plan on a group of trained people invading your home with a lot of firepower. They mean business, and you better as well. Remember, y'all, about 2 years ago, there was a Marine, Jose Guerrera, in his home. He lived out west in California or Arizona, I believe. The cops invaded his house while he was asleep. He grabbed his AR, and he was going to defend his home. They shot 71 bullets at this man. They hit him 22 times. I'm going to read just a little bit of the story about what happened. I got this off of one of the internet dictionary sites. Wikipedia, thank you, Missy. Jose was asleep after returning from a 12-hour overnight shift at a Sarco Mission mine. Guerrera was awakened at 9:30 a.m. by his wife, who heard noises outside their house. They were later identified as flashbang grenades deployed by the police in the backyard as a diversion. He instructed his wife and 4-year-old son to hide in the closet while he grabbed his AR-15 rifle. He crouched down, preparing to defend himself from the unidentified people breaking in and entering into his home. Okay, after an examination of the rifle that he allegedly pointed at officers, however, it was determined that the rifle was never even fired. The safety was still engaged. There were 5 officers at the door beginning to make entry into this home when they engaged this individual that they believed was actually firing at them, so they claimed. Other versions of this story claim that the officers started shooting after Guerrera pointed a gun at them. Though under questioning, they were initially unsure whether he had actually moved to target them. A video of the raid shows roughly 38 seconds expired from the time that the police briefly sounded a siren upon pulling into Guerrera's driveway until they shot him. At this point, the 5-person team had fired at least 71 rounds at Guerrera in less than 7 seconds. He died after being hit 22 times. Guerrera's wife called 911 to request medical assistance for her husband shortly after the shootings. Paramedics, however, were instructed to hold back. They were denied attention for about 1 hour until the team declared the area secured. Ambulance crews were then notified they were no longer needed. 1 hour and 14 minutes after Guerrera's wife called to 911. A former U.S. Army staff sergeant was asked to review this video in the court proceedings when the wife was suing him. This guy had 7 years' experience as an Army combat engineer, including 3 deployments to Iraq. He said the raid was conducted amateur, undisciplined, unrehearsed, and ineffective. Well, it was pretty effective, if you ask me. He was then asked if Guerrera could have known that there were cops raiding the house. He replied, not plausible at all. The short siren burst could have been a police car passing. The flashbang grenades being used next door would have added to the confusion. And when looking out a sunlit doorway from a dark hallway, it's difficult to see anything but a silhouette. Add in several people yelling, and it would be extremely difficult to comprehend what is happening if you're awoken from sleep. So these guys invaded his home and shot 71 bullets at him, 22 of them striking him. So if you don't think you need to be ready for home defense, you're wrong. This guy was a Marine. He had fought in Iraq. He had direct experience with this type of invasion that was conducted on him. He just didn't plan on it happening to him in America. Well, it did. I wish he'd been prepared for his home and for a defensive fight. He was armed, I'll give him that. He did send his family to a closet to avoid them being killed. Great. But that was the best that he could do because he did not plan ahead for an invasion. He could have devastated the invaders if he would have planned a defense. He didn't even get off one shot. Now, I know these guys were cops, but they invaded this man's home and it was found he was innocent. He did nothing wrong at all, so he had every right to defend his home. All right, y'all think about Ruby Ridge for a minute. This guy was prepared. He had planned and thought out how to defend his position. His family was armed. Everybody was ready. They did take casualties, but they held off an invading force that had ample time to set up and deploy. They even had snipers, APCs, everything. He held them off for quite a while. That's the difference in being prepared and not being prepared. My opinion is, if you're in a house, in a town, or an apartment or something, other than a piece of land that is your last stand, your best bet is going to be to get out ahead of an attack. Do your best not to be trapped indoors when they come for you. You may take a few with you, but they will get you eventually. Now, this discussion is going to be about how to handle things if you've had no warning that they're coming and you cannot get out. I guess I'm coughing. Missy held me up a note that says, mute when you cough. Sorry, y'all. going to be about how to handle things if you have no warning when they're coming. You're forced into a firefight, and you're defending your life and your family's life. You need to think defense all the time. When you're driving down the road, when you're in the store, everywhere. I know some of y'all have been at the red light, and the car in front of you is broke down or something like that, and you were way too close to drive around. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to defense. Never trap yourself at any intersection. Always leave room to get out. A lot can happen in the minutes that you're herded into a kill zone like that.
Let me say something, because I'm the primary driver when we go around town. Don't get too close to that vehicle. He fusses at me all the time. What if something happens? You can't get out. He's constantly fussing at me that I get too close to the vehicles in front of me. So, anyway.
You're doing good, though. But you tailgate.
No, I don't.
When I was in the Army, we always trained as if we were expecting an attack. It becomes second nature after a while. It just becomes how you think. It will pay off one day. When an attack happens and you are prepared and just react, you're going to be very glad that you changed your way of thinking ahead of time. All right, I want to get into home defense a little bit. This does not matter where you live. You can be in an apartment, a house, in the country. It doesn't matter. It's just going to be a different scale that you're going to work with. Now, I have a question for all of y'all. How far is it to the closest intersection by your home? Do you know right now? How far is it to your mailbox? If you don't know that, how are you going to engage the enemy when they come for you? When an enemy is trying to engage you with their weapon from outside your home, you need to know the range to all the places that you believe they're going to fire from. Your first shot needs to be on target. You don't need to adjust fire. Your first one needs to be the one that hits them. You will be extremely stressed when the initial engagement begins. You don't need to worry about whether or not your first rounds are going to be on target. Let the enemy worry about what range you're at. You have the time now to get that knowledge. Another question. Where is your enemy going to be engaging you from? Can you see 360 degrees from there? If not, is there somebody else that's going to be able to observe that area that you can't engage? And how are you going to be able to communicate with them during the attack? What everybody should have, if you've got a two or three people in your house, you need little handheld radios. Get the chargeable kind or get the kind that hold the double A's that are rechargeable. Everybody needs to have a place that they go if an invasion happens in your home. They have a spot that they're going to be watching, and you need to be able to speak with them at all times. So you need to know, practice out some hand signals that you've worked out with your family or your friends, and get some combo. You definitely need that. And when your primary defensive position is compromised and the enemy is getting ready to put lead on you, where are you going to go? You need to have several alternate positions. I know we're talking about a home here, but there's many ways you can go about this. You've got windows, you've got a roof, you've got brick walls. You know, we're going to talk about reinforcing fences.
Some people
a little
have basements.
Bit. Some people have attic. We don't have them here, but well, I wouldn't really want to go up in the attic too much, but you get trapped up there. But there's a lot to think about. Just go through your house and think where somebody could be coming in and how I could stop them. All right, when I was in the Army, we used this all the time. This is standard operating procedure. It needs to be for all militias as well in your everyday life. We're going to talk about range cards a little bit. The first thing that happened after pulling into a position, we'd go into a coil, a herringbone, anything. A range card was drawn, usually by the gunner. We had them do it. A range card basically shows the terrain around your position and various pieces of information that will allow you and others to know how to defend your position. This was so important, we didn't do anything. This was done first. We pulled in and stopped. The gunner immediately got on that. Nobody ate. Maintenance wasn't done. Anything until that was done. So you need to make this important as well. You need to create a range card of your position. A range card is a simple drawing of your position and the surrounding area. Basically, you could do this in two phases. We're going to start by just drawing your location in the middle. We're going to probably do a 360-degree one. That's going to be your best bet. Whether it's your home or your retreat location, doesn't matter. It's also going to be used for operations away from your base. If you're going to be at a location for more than one day, you need to do this. In the Army, we made range cards that were more like in a V-shape because we had numerous vehicles. We'd pull in, and say we were pulling in into a coil, we'd have four tanks in a circle. We would do one side, we would have our little V, and then the next guys would draw theirs. Well, you're probably not going to have that option. Basically, the way it happened is we would draw our range cards, and then we would compile them and bring them to the TOC, which is the Tactical Operations Center. They would compile that, and they would build a 360-degree defense plan for your position. You ain't going to have that option. Do what? You're going to be the TOC and the troop. Things you're going to put on your range card after you've drawn your position in the middle of it are going to be buildings, trees, fences, all permanent structures, and things that could be used by you or your invader during an attack on your position. Once you have these things on your card, you need to get the range to each thing and write it on the card. Now, if you have a laser rangefinder, that's great. If not, find a place where you can mark out a 100-meter straight line and then walk that three times. And every time you do it, count your steps. And then average those together, and that'll be your pace count. So you can start ranging things based on your pace count after that. So like I said, get 100 meters, 100 yards, whichever you prefer. Mark it out in a straight line. Walk it down, count your paces. Walk it back, count your paces again, and then walk it again a third time. The average will be your pace count. And you can go ahead and you can get all your ranges that way. Once you've got all your items drawn on your range card of your surrounding area, everything that's important to you that could be something that would be able to engage you from or you engage at, you want to go ahead and put your ranges on the range card at the location there. That way you know ahead of time, this is how far this stuff is, and I can adjust everything, get it ready to go right then. You can also, if you're doing a 360 range card, draw circles within the circles, which will depict the different ranges. You can have one if you're using like a neighborhood house, you could have one at like 50 meters, 100 meters, 150 meters. And then you'll see, basically after that, your mailbox might be at 75 meters, and it'll be easier to get your range as well. Because you definitely want to get your first rounds on target. You're also going to need to identify possible routes that your enemy is going to use to gain access to your position, and a route that you can use to move within your position. What I recommend is go out in front of your position when there's not too many people around and just kind of look at it. If you were the invading force, how would you want to gain access to this home or this, you know, wherever you are? Think about different windows, different, you know, fence lines, gates, things like that, vehicles that you have parked in your driveway. Could they hide, you know, and something like that? And then when you go back in, you can kind of make your plan that way. But definitely you need to find routes so you can move within your position. This is not just for large terrain. This can be used for a simple suburban yard. It's just going to be on a smaller scale. When preparing your range card, you need to be in the positions that you're going to be fighting from. That way you get a good view of the area and you can find trouble spots that will be hiding spots for the invaders and things that you can't see. If you have the option, prep the battlefield ahead of time. You can clear out bushes that you think may block your field of fire or offer the enemy a place to shoot you from. You also need to start looking at secondary positions. When your primary is compromised, you should already know your next position and how to get there without being seen. I'm going to give you a scenario. The power's went out and it's not coming back on. You live in a neighborhood with several houses and two intersections within 300 meters of your house. You also have houses that are about 40 feet from you. How are you going to set up a defense for this? You need to know the range to all the places you need to fire on. You need to go now and get those ranges. Like I said before, put the ranges on your range card. But if you're using like a stop sign or the back of the mailbox or something like that, you can put a colored marker on the side of it or the back where you can see it, but they can't. You can maybe do a blue one on the back of your mailbox, an orange one on the stop sign, and put these, making an index on the side of your range card saying orange is this many meters. You know, silver is this, black is this. You're also going to want to make several copies of this and make sure that any buddies that may be helping with your defense and your family have these as well. If something happens to you, they need to be able to read these very easily. After figuring out where you're going to engage from, this is going to be your next step. You will need several places to fight from. Let's talk about cover and concealment. There is a difference. Cover will protect you from enemy fire, and concealment keeps you hidden but doesn't cover you from, doesn't necessarily, it could, but it doesn't always cover you from fire. They may not see you behind a bush, but once you pull the trigger, they're going to hit you because they're going to be able to get to you. Now, do you have a brick fireplace, or is there something that could take a few rounds while keeping you covered? Find these places that provide cover now, not after you're under siege. You need to have all this stuff planned out ahead of time so you don't have to worry about it. Identify several places. If you don't have several places to provide cover, build them. They will come in with heavy firepower, and you need to be able to defend against it. These need to look normal. Don't build a railroad-tie bunker in your front yard. Don't dig a foxhole. Don't put a bunch of sandbags on your roof or something like that, because that's the first place they're going to look. It needs to look like an everyday object. They will not initially engage it if it looks normal. Sandbags are good if you can camouflage them. A lot of places are giving them away free for the flood prep. Go get them now. I've got quite a few here. Get enough that you can put at least two in depth if you're going to be able to camouflage this. And high enough for you to, at least be able to lay behind it. You don't want a big, tall, you know, obtrusive thing in your yard, but that you need to be able to move around in it without being seen. Another great piece of cover is a large tree, but you need to be able to move to that tree without exposing yourself. That's where the concealment comes in. If you can quietly move to a tree from a brick wall without being seen, they're going to be forced to look for you. That's going to keep them occupied while you do your work. Remember this, the Army plans on a 6-to-1 ratio when attacking a defense. That means they believe it's going to take 6 attackers to overwhelm one person in defense, so you've already got the upper hand. A well-planned defense can make almost any enemy wish they had chosen another house. Now, a lot of y'all are probably saying that they may have small drones or choppers that can see you from above. I don't have a lot of answers on that yet. I'm working on it. But that is another reason for concealment. Try to imagine what they could use to find and prepare for it now. They might have thermal. Now, if you're going to be up on your roof or something like that, a camouflage poncho would work fine at night unless they have thermal. There's a lot of things you can research on the internet about, possibly masking your thermal. I've heard a lot about maybe putting tinfoil in the back of a poncho, things like that. Anything that you can do to keep your heat signature from being seen. I mean, little drones, but a shotgun will take out a little drone. Just try to imagine what they could use and prep for it now. Early warning systems. Do y'all have an alarm system? Do you have video? Do you have some form of a noisemaker that comes on if someone comes onto your property? Dogs, tripwires, and also something attached to the tripwires that's noisy. Alarms are nice for letting you know that they have entered your home. They can also get pretty cheap. Install it yourself, though. That keeps the corporate people from having access to your house. The same thing goes for video. A lot of people chose not to hook these into a company so that they're the only one that has access to it. And do not think for a second, if you're hooked up to one of these monitoring companies or the web with your system, that the enemy can't access it also. I protect my home, not the cops. I don't need them to be informed when someone's breaking in. I will call them to clean up the mess when I'm done. That's how it should be. Now, if you choose a video system, place the cameras everywhere that you can imagine someone's going to invade. That will really help with situational awareness. A lot of people hook their TVs up to where they can see these things from a specific room that they're going to be in quite often in their house, bedrooms, something like that. It's really going to help with your situational awareness when they're moving into position. Point a few of them to the streets. It may not be seeing your car and your driveway as much, but if you see what's going on the intersections, you're doing good. Big dogs are also great, but sometimes a little yappy dog is the best alarm. We've got a little black Pomeranian, and these things get really defensive. They tell you a lot of information.
And loud.
Well, they let you know where it's at. If she runs to one end of the house, you know somebody's coming to the front door. She does know,
and she's so loud.
Sometimes
and yappy.
Better than the big dogs.
Yeah.
All right, trip wires. Don't think we're going all Rambo. Think about this for a second. Put some trip wires low. You can fasten these things to trees and then put an eye hook into a tree or a fence post or something like that and run some cable through that, run it around, just run it like a little circuit to the back of your house or something like that. Hang some wind chimes on it in the back so that when they kick the tripwire in the front, the wind chimes go off in the back. They may or may not know what that is. But put them low, flower gardens, like I said, fences between bushes and trees that are close together. Think about ways that they're going to gain access to your position and place the wires there. Like I said, wind chimes are really good because they may not realize they activated it. It can work either way. If it alerts them, they stop, allowing you to engage. If they don't hear it, you still have an advantage because they're unaware that you're prepping to fight. So either way, you win. Like I said, 6-to-1. They're already coming in scared. Now, what are you going to use to defend your position? You also need to think about what equipment you believe that they will use when assaulting your position. When armed thugs with little or no body armor come in, it's going to be one scenario. But what if it's a full-on military-style assault with MRAPs, tear gas, etc.? Remember, your goal is to make whoever wants to invade your position wish they had chose another place. As we discussed last time when we were talking about weapons for your arms room, do not discount compound bows and crossbows. If you're in a cover position and you do not want to give up, a nice, quiet compound bow will not give away your position as easy as my 308 will. Imagine the fear in their buddy's eyes when his buddy drops with an arrow in his chest. Now, is there another member of your team that you can contact that will come in from behind? You got a buddy close by. You have combo with them 24 hours a day. They've seen your range car. They understand your home. They you walk through the fence with them. If the crap hits the fan and you need them quick, if you get a hold of them, they can come in behind. Their situational awareness from the backside, and they can also take a lot of the heat off of you, so you can maybe get out of that AO and move on. If you don't have one, get one. That really will help a lot. Like I said, get combo with them and plan ahead. You need numerous options. And like I said, give them a copy of the range card and practice this, train for it over and over again. And do not forget when planning your defense that you need a way to get out when it gets too hot. Now, I know if they get you surrounded, you might not be getting a way out, but do your best to try. I don't know. Depending on your terrain, where you live, and how much property you're defending, you might be able to get out. A home defense will be devastating to an invader, but eventually they will get you. They have more assets than you. Try your best to plan a route that will get you out that doesn't alert them to your leaving. This could be, like I said, it'll be really tough in a neighborhood. If their plan is to take your position and you see no other way out, at least make them earn it. I like reinforced door frames. A lot of people talk about them. They can be built pretty cheap. Just remember, if an MRAP wants in, an MRAP gets in. They can easily mount a battering ram on it. But while they're working on that, you may be able to get out. There's a lot of things you can do. And 2 weeks ago on our program, Paraclete had called in and talked about reinforcing concrete braces where you can actually put holes in your foundation of your house. Y'all do a Google search on that. It's a good option. Might get a little bit more pricey. And, I mean, I don't know if you – a lot of people don't want holes in their floor and all that, but there's probably ways you can disguise that. All right, now we're going to talk about what happens when they get in your home. You've done everything you can on the outside. What are you going to do now? Go through your house now and decide where you think they're going to enter and where they're going to go first. Are there any thicker walled parts of your home that you can engage from? Where are your weapons? I hope they're not locked away in the safe along with the ammo. What is your weapon of choice for an inside fight? A lot of people pick a 12-gauge. It may be your battle rifle. Maybe a high-capacity handgun. Whatever your choice is, it needs to be accessible all the time to you. Don't leave it locked up unless you – I understand if you have grandchildren or little children running around, but you need to be able to access that quickly. And another one, is one magazine enough? I like my battle rifle in the house because it has a lot more capacity, but there is not a wrong choice. Shotguns will have a psychological effect unmatched on an intruder. And you got two or three guys coming down the hallway, you know, one good burst of buckshot can put two of them down pretty quick. Now, when you're engaging, stay as low as possible. They're looking for a standing man with a gun to shoot at. I don't recommend the prone, though, because once you're down in the prone, it's going to be really hard for you to get up. You're stuck indoors. You're maybe getting the crouch position. Now, remember this, though. It's going to be dark because you've already went ahead and put out the lights. And they are in an unknown environment. You can overwhelm bad guys real quick when they're confused. It's dark inside. They have no clue where they're going. You know the house like the back of your hand. Now I want to talk a little bit about homemade CS gas. We used to call these MRE bombs when I was in the Army. If you have an MRE, take the heaters out. Or you can go online and buy these heaters. You're also going to need some water bottles. Take the water bottles and keep about 2 ounces of water in them. Keep them in a position where you think you might be fighting from. Keep the caps on them. Get a couple bottles of Tabasco sauce and the heaters and put them by them. Do not put them in the bottles yet because you'll find out what CS does real quick. When you need these things, dump a lot of Tabasco sauce inside. I'm talking a lot of this inside. Then stuff the heater in. You've already got the 2 ounces of water. Cap the bottle and shake it a lot. When this bottle starts to swell, toss it at the home invader. The heater is going to create just enough pressure to pop the bottle. It's going to make that stuff into gas, and they're breathing fumes like they've never breathed before. It sucks, trust me. It's also going to make a loud popping sound, and it creates a lot of confusion. They're a lot of fun. Try them out sometime, but be careful. remember this, no matter how many invaders are in your home, they cannot all be in the hallway at the same time, so think about positions like that. And don't go for headshots unless you're up close. The head is an easy miss. The chest is almost always hit. Now, body armor could make you change that tactic just a little bit. But I don't care what anybody says. If a man in a Kevlar vest takes 1 or 2 rounds to the chest, he is going to stop what he's doing. Now, think about your family as well. You need to ensure that they are safe unless they are in the fight. Try to draw the invaders away from your children. So they stand a good chance of not being taken or injured. you have the upper hand here. Chances are they're not going to be looking at the layout of your home very well. They're not going to know it very well. They can guess, but they will not know until they're inside. You know your home. Where can you hide? Where can you fight from? Do you have an escape route if you need to get out? And once they're in, there isn't much chance of you coming out alive. You need to fight and fight hard. This is your home, and you've done nothing wrong. They are invading your home. This is not time to negotiate with any invader or threaten any invader. Put them down with as much power as you can muster. They have earned it. Don't hold back in hopes of resolving the situation. We've all read the stories about innocent people who've been invaded and they didn't fight. The invader wins and the American national dies, and that doesn't need to happen to you. If I don't have any questions, I'm going to pass it over to Miss Missy.
If I'd unmute myself, maybe I could talk.
<There we go.
laughs> I'm talking and nothing's coming out. Okay. I want to discuss toxic chemicals that are in your home. I don't think we realize how bombarded we are in our daily life by chemicals that can kill us. We trust manufacturers of products to make safe products for us, but we cannot trust them. Their God is money, not your safety or the safety of your family. They control us on a regular basis. They put harmful chemicals like chlorine and fluoride in our water. I know a lot of others. Our food supply is so depleted with processed foods and GMOs that have no nutritional value and are not really even food. It's time we take responsibility for ourselves and our families and get as much poison out of our lives as possible. There's no way to get it 100%. You can't. But the more you do, the better off you're going to be. There's a couple of articles I have. One is from Mother Earth Living from their November-December 2012 issue written by Sarah Lozanova. The three most toxic chemicals in your home. Upholstered furniture is often treated with toxic brominated flame retardants, which can interrupt hormone processes in the body and lead to liver and thyroid toxicity. Manufacturers use an estimated 80,000 chemicals in products used around the home today. And everything from softeners in plastics to preservatives in cosmetics to treatments for stain-resistant upholstery. Unfortunately, few of these chemicals have been thoroughly tested, and the long-term health effects of their use are largely unknown. What's more, a growing body of evidence links chronic diseases such as cancer, asthma, autism, and reproductive problems to the chemicals in our homes, food, water, and air. Although the situation can seem daunting, several simple precautions can help safeguard your family. Start by reducing your exposure to these three common chemicals. Toxic chemicals, flame retardants. Flame retardants are synthetic chemicals widely applied to flammable petroleum-based products. Over the last 40 years, these chemicals have grown in popularity and are now commonly found in textiles, furniture, carpets, insulation, and electronics. Among the most toxic are brominated flame retardants, BFRs, which include polybrominated, some of these words I'm going to trouble with, diphenyl ethers, PBDEs. Studies have found PBDEs to be endocrine disruptors, which interrupt the hormone processes in the body. They may also cause liver and thyroid toxicity. Even minimal exposure at critical points in development can cause difficulties in learning, motor skills, memory, and hearing, as well as damage to reproductive systems. Because flame retardants are not chemically bound to products, they are likely to leach out. PBDEs have been found to bioaccumulate in the food chain and do not readily break down in the environment. As a result, these chemicals have become widespread pollutants and are now commonly found in dairy products, fish, and meat. To minimize your exposure, avoid products made of synthetic fibers and select naturally less flammable alternatives such as wool and leather. Read product labels. They will sometimes state whether products contain flame retardants. Ask manufacturers what type of fire retardants they use. Children's pajamas made from synthetic fabrics are commonly treated, as stated on the label, but snug-fitting cotton pajamas are frequently untreated. It can be hard to find untreated alternatives for some products, such as automobile upholstery, car seats, and strollers. In these cases, it is helpful to clean items and the surroundings using a vacuum equipped with a HEPA filter. Inspect products with covered foam, which are very likely to contain flame retardants such as mattresses, sofas, and car seats, and ensure that protective covers are not ripped. Old carpet pads are likely sources of PBDEs. Use special caution when removing old carpet by isolating the work area and using a breathing mask. Identifying electronic items in your home that are likely to contain PBDEs, such as mobile phones, remote controls, hair dryers, and kitchen appliances, and exercise special care by washing your hands after using them and not allowing young children to put them in their mouths. To avoid PBDEs in food, eat animal products with a lower fat content, as PBDEs tend to accumulate in fatty tissue. All right. Toxic chemicals, formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is a colorless gas with a pungent odor that is used as a disinfectant, a preservative, and a precursor for various resins and construction products. It is highly toxic and is used widely throughout the globe. The U.S. National Toxicology Program has labeled formaldehyde a known human carcinogen. Even at relatively low levels, above 0.1 parts per million, some people experience reactions to formaldehyde, including watery eyes, nausea, difficulty breathing, burning in the eyes, and throat, coughing, and rashes. Common domestic sources of formaldehyde are building materials, cigarette smoke, Steve, and unvented fuel burning appliances, pressed wood products with urea formaldehyde resins such as particle board, hardwood plywood paneling, and medium-density fiberboard are all common sources of indoor formaldehyde contamination.
Is there anything that's not bad for me?
No, everything's bad. To minimize your exposure, whenever possible, choose solid wood products over pressed wood, which I would do anyway. Ask about the formaldehyde content of wood products such as furniture and cabinetry before purchasing, which is kind of dumb because most people buy your house already done, but anyway. Most responsible manufacturers will be able to provide formaldehyde testing results. Fortunately, formaldehyde emissions decrease over time. Yay, because my house is old, which means older furnishings are less likely to off-gas and makes used or antique furniture a safer option. Yay. If you do purchase furnishings likely to contain formaldehyde, you can reduce emissions by covering them with one of the clear sealants available from AFM Safecoat. AFM Safecoat, I'll say that again.
Safeco or Safecoat?
Safecoat, S-A-F-E-C-O-A-T.
Okay.
The EPA also recommends purchasing exterior-grade pressured wood products because they contain phenol resins instead of urea resins. If you're using glues or binders indoors, choose formaldehyde-free options. Finally, maintain moderate indoor temperatures and reduce humidity levels. I live in South Louisiana. I can't reduce humidity levels. Formaldehyde off-gases more readily in hot, humid environments. That's why so many people in South Louisiana die of cancer. Huh, makes sense. Toxic chemicals, triclosan. Widely used for its antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties. Triclosan is commonly referred to under the trade names Microban, Amacor, Ultra Fresh, and BioFresh. Don't you love how those companies go, BioFresh? Oh, Microban. It's going to help you. Whatever. Triclosan can be found in countless consumer products, including deodorants, hand soap, hand sanitizer, toothpaste to prevent gingivitis, mouthwash, dish soap, and even kitchen utensils, toys, mattresses, shoe insoles, bedding, and trash bags. Studies have found that low levels of triclosan can be absorbed through the skin and into the bloodstream, and the chemical appears in the urine of 75% of the U.S. population, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Animal tests have revealed that low levels of triclosan cause thyroid dysfunction and that maternal exposure causes fetal developmental problems. Studies have also detected a correlation between triclosan use and immune system function as related to allergies and hay fever. Triclosan also wreaks havoc on the environment outside our homes. Experts believe the use of triclosan has assisted in the rise of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Triclosan has been detected in waterways where it is toxic to aquatic life, and as only some is removed in the wastewater treatment process. To minimize your exposure, Read product labels and avoid products containing triclosan. Manufacturers of most personal care products are required by the FDA to list triclosan as an ingredient. Okay, so I guess this is referred to as Skin Deep, is what it's called, cosmetic database by the Environmental Working Group for Safe Alternatives. Skin Deep, Google it, or start pages, I'm sorry. Other products such as toys, shower curtains, and cutting boards may not specifically list triclosan as an ingredient, but are often labeled antibacterial. I remember when they came out with all this antibacterial stuff, I said something's up with that. Because you didn't have that forever. All of a sudden, oh, it's antibacterial. Oh, your dish soap's antibacterial. Blah, 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 blah. I knew something was bad with that. Okay, paraben patrol. Widely used in personal care products and cosmetics, parabens are extremely common, low-cost synthetic preservatives. Studies from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found parabens in the majority of urine samples tested, demonstrating that these widespread chemicals are readily absorbed into the body. Parabens have been detected in human breast cancer tumors and are thought to disrupt the hormone systems of the body. Parabens are most often found in moisturizers, skin cleansers, shaving gel, topical pharmaceuticals, makeup, toothpaste, shampoo, conditioner, sunscreen, and even as an additive in foods, beverages, and some medications. To avoid parabens, read ingredient labels and avoid ingredients ending in paraben, P-A-R-A-B-E-N, such as ethyl paraben and butyl paraben. For numerous recommendations for personal care products that are paraben-free, check out the article Come Clean. Go to MotherEarthLiving.com. Type in Come Clean. Easy fix, ditch dry cleaning, which I don't do because I don't dress nice enough to dry clean my clothes. But anyway, the EPA recently listed tetrachloroethylene, or PERC, P-E-R-C, a chemical widely used in the dry cleaning industry, as a likely human carcinogen. It most commonly enters the body through contaminated air, food, or water. Those who live near dry cleaners that use PERC are at the greatest risk for exposure. PERC can sometimes infiltrate area drinking water. Visit the EWG's drinking water database to determine whether PERC has been detected in your local water supply. Although most dry cleaners use PERC, which is known to leave a residue on clothes and off gas, there is an alternative. Wet cleaning is considered safe, effective, and uses less energy than traditional dry cleaning. The method uses water as a solvent instead of chemicals. Ask your dry cleaner if they use PERC, or search the internet for PERC-free dry cleaners in your area. Okay, that was on the three most toxic chemicals in your home, because believe me, there's a lot more. You have something to say?
We got another article, if not?
Yes, I have several other articles. There's no way I'll get to them all.
Well, real quick, I want to let everybody know, before I forget, if you're within 3 hours of this place, there is a gun show in Lafayette, Louisiana, Saturday and Sunday, starting at 9 a.m. both days. Y'all come check it out. They usually put on a pretty good show. It's usually elbow to elbow in there. And I'm going to be walking around trying to upgrade, so go ahead.
Okay. Five surprising household products containing toxic chemicals, which I know that one listed some, but I want to go through this too. Again, from Mother Earth Living. If y'all don't notice, Mother Earth Magazine, Mother Earth Living, two of my favorite. I cry when I don't get my magazines. But anyway, and their May, June 2012 issue, this one's by the Natural Home and Garden staff. Most of us know to avoid poisonous pesticides and harsh household cleaners. But what about air fresheners or permanent press sheets? Toxic chemicals? Is my there?
Yeah. This is Henry. How are you guys doing?
Oh, good. How are you doing, Henry?
I'm doing well. Excellent broadcast. My question, real quick, I was trying to catch you between articles for Bulldog, a tight AO, a lot of cover, but too tight. You know what I'm saying? What would you think about using smoke in a breakout situation?
Anything you can get your hands on. Smoke would be outstanding, depending on what your state allows you to have, this and that and the other. Any form of smoke would be great because like I said before, you know how it's going to be. If you've seen all these videos, everybody's seen these things. When they come in your house, you're not coming out on 2 feet. So that would, I didn't even think about that. Thanks a lot, Henry, because I'll tell you what, if it covers you, you can blast through them. And
real quick, as far as smoke goes, look for some Lowe's, Home Depot may carry them. What you want is the, it's a smoke bomb, but you set it off in your home to test the air conditioning and the ventilation. I'm trying to remember what they're called. Dad knows what it is because he's been in maintenance before. But they put off a lot of smoke.
You could get a few. I mean, the ones they sell for 4th of July don't do a lot. I mean, that may help a little bit. Anything that's going to throw them off for a second and get you.
The ones I'm talking about, they're industrial. People don't think about them, but they put out a lot of smoke because they have to see the airflow.
You said at the big box stores?
Lowe's or Home Depot may have them. They're for industrial heating and cooling for testing the AC.
I'm going to go check into those tomorrow.
Me too.
Because I don't want to
get
carried
out. All right, then. I'll let you guys, I'm going to jump off and let you go on with the conversation, but I was wondering about your opinion on that.
I think it'd be great.
All right, brother, you take care.
Smoke them on your way out.
Thank you, Henry. Okay, where was I? Oh, toxic chemicals are lurking in many seemingly innocuous products. Reduce your exposure by choosing healthier alternatives within the following categories. And again, these are going to be on MotherEarthLiving.com. And learn more in a healthier home, furnishings and decor to reduce indoor air pollution. Shower curtains. PVC, also known as vinyl, shower curtains and liners can release more than 100 VOCs that may linger in the air for up to 28 days, according to a 2008 Center for Health, Environment, and Justice study. They also contain phthalates. I have to thank my daughter for that because I could not pronounce that word earlier. She's like, Mom, I know me either. The way it's spelled so funky, it's phthalates anyway, which have been linked to developmental and reproductive disorders, hormone disruption, and cancer in animals. If you're in the market for a new curtain, opt for organic cotton, hemp, or linen. Electronics. Polybrominated diphenyl ethers. PBDEs are used in computer and television monitors, as well as cell phones, kitchen appliances, and other electronics. These flame retardants have been linked to health problems ranging from birth defects to cancer. Visit the Environmental Working Group for a list of manufacturers who have pledged to phase out PBDEs. Window treatments, which is bad because I'm a curtain hoarder, asked Steve. We were in the military for so long, I had curtains. I just have so many curtains. Most curtains are made of synthetic fabrics treated with flame retardants and chemicals. Buy or make curtains using organic, untreated cotton, linen, or hemp, or hang naturally finished bamboo shades. Air fresheners. The ingredient fragrance on a product label can refer to hundreds of synthetic petrochemicals that have been linked to cancer, central nervous system damage, birth defects, and allergic reactions. The healthiest alternatives, fresh air, open the windows, or make your own refreshing spray by mixing a half a cup filtered water, half cup vodka, and about 18 drops of your favorite essential oil.
Don't waste the vodka.
Or a mix of several in a spray bottle. Shake well before using. Your bedding. Polyester blended bedding and permanent press sheets are treated with formaldehyde that remains in fabric long after washing. Even pure cotton is doused with pesticides, bleaches, and dyes. Opt for bedding made from organic, untreated cotton, flannel, silk, hemp, or linen, and choose natural fiber pillows. Okay, I had another article I wanted to do, I won't get to, but make your own. So I'm telling you how bad all this stuff is. Well, I'm going to give you some of these that are really good, and then next time I want to do happy good stuff. So, again, Mother Earth Living, Make Your Own Green Cleaners by Robin Griggs Lawrence, Editor-at-Large. Okay, for an all-purpose liquid cleaner, 1 gallon hot water, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 2 teaspoons of Dr. Bronner, that's B-R-O-N-N-E-R, liquid soap. So 2 teaspoons of Dr. Bronner's liquid soap. I buy his soap. It's pure Castile soap at my local health food store, but he does have a website. Well, he's dead. His kids are running it, but it's www.drbronner.com. I just bought some of his soap, and it's really good. So that's for an all-purpose liquid cleaner. 1 gallon hot water, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 2 teaspoons Dr. Bronner's liquid soap. And that's Dr. Bronner, BRONNER.com. Dishwasher detergent, 2 cups borax. You can buy borax at the grocery store. I'm not going to say Dollar General and all that. I don't know, but I know the grocery store has it. So 2 cups of borax, 2 cups baking soda, 4 small packages unsweetened lemon Kool-Aid, or substitute 1/2 cup of citric acid. Mix together and store. So that's 2 cups borax, 2 cups baking soda, 4 small packages of unsweetened lemon Kool-Aid, or substitute 1/2 cup citric acid. Mix it together and store. All-purpose spray. 2 cups water. 1/2 cup distilled white vinegar. 1 teaspoon pure Castile soap, peppermint, that Dr. Bronner. That's exactly what I have. I have pure Castile soap, peppermint. 3/4 cup hydrogen peroxide. 20 drops of tea tree oil. 20 drops lavender essential oil. Mix together in a 32-ounce spray bottle and store it. Mildew and germ killer. 2 cups water. 25 drops tea tree oil. 25 drops lavender oil. Spray on towel. Do not wipe off. And baking soda is a key ingredient in homemade dishwasher detergent and many other cleaners. You can buy baking soda, Arm & Hammer baking soda. It's so cheap. My daughter mixes vinegar and baking soda. She said, "Now it's going to fizz," and you mix it together. She goes, "Mom, I clean everything with that." When you make your own cleaners, I mean, look at the ingredients I just gave you guys. There's hardly anything in it. You know what you're putting in it. It's cheap. Cleaners are getting so expensive, and you're touching all these chemicals that are leaching in your hands. You're breathing that in when you're cleaning. I mean, just wiping things down. I know the cleaners at the health food store are really expensive. I can't afford to buy them. I look at them like, there's no way. But there are ways, and look, there's so many more different recipes on the internet to find to make your own cleaners, and it's so cheap. You'll save so much money. So, your turn. Go ahead.
I think we're getting close to the top. I want to remind y'all something. This broadcast and broadcasts like it are brought to y'all by LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com. If you want to keep Liberty Tree on the air, go to LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com and hit their donate button. These are listener-sponsored broadcasts. And one more thing real quick. We got about a minute left. If I know a lot of y'all have been listening to this, but if y'all don't know what's going on in Bunkerville, Nevada, there's a lot going on over there. They've got thousands of militia supposedly en route over there to try to stop land from being taken from the people of Nevada. If you want to find out more, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, and there's tons of stories over there. You need to be checking this out. This could be the next Lexington or Concord. I want to really thank y'all for listening to us and being patient with us tonight, and have a great evening, and God bless.
God bless you guys. Ed, are you there?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I
got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say man. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the West. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Be alone. Keep falling over. The God.